Hello and welcome to the Prestige Worldwide Dynasty Fantasy Football League podcast. I'm your host, Kevin. And today we've got a jam-packed episode, but before that, a quick word from our sponsor. The Prestige Worldwide Fantasy Football Dynasty League is brought to you by Paywall PPC. Is your business where it should be in the search results? Organic traffic is responsible for over half the clicks on search engines. Don't let that go to waste by being buried by your competitors. SEO is arguably one of the most sustainable and important marketing tactics. Our SEO team will research your industry and optimize both on-site and off-site factors for your company's website that will skyrocket you to the top of all search engines. Visit BaywallPPC.com to learn more. What's up, everybody? Back for another episode of the podcast. Fresh off nice little weekend trip up to Arcadia to play some golf with the boys. Had some fun there. Actually met a fellow league member for the first time. Met Scott up there. It was funny. He said he recognized me by my voice from the podcast. So that's pretty cool. Other than that, went to Vegas a couple weeks ago for my bachelor. Back from that. Hell of a trip. Thanks to the boys for coming out for that one. And then, a couple weeks. Got the wedding coming up, and looking forward to that. So yeah, with that, just wanted to come on and talk about everything that went down during the NFL draft, how teams are looking now post-draft, and going into the rest of the offseason here and into next year. So let's get into it. All right, let's start off with a little bit of Dynasty rookie rankings. Number one to start it off is pretty obvious. Bijan Robinson, Atlanta Falcons, went 8th overall. Landing in Atlanta was the best case scenario for the top running back prospect in many, many years. The Falcons were the only team to run the ball on more than half of their offensive plays last season, which included maintaining the run even when playing from behind. They ran 48.8% of the time while losing, which was 5 percentage points more than any other team. Those rates remained similar when Desmond Ridder took over as the team's starting quarterback. The Falcons' depth was a talented Tyler Allgeier and a 32-year-old Cordarrelle Patterson. Allgeier can give Robinson a rest at times, but that shouldn't stop Robinson from seeing 20 touches per game. He will be running behind some of the best interior linemen in the league as well. He should be an easy first-round pick in redraft leagues and the top option in single-quarterback dynasty drafts, just like our league. Pretty obvious. Bijan Robinson is going to be a stud. If he's not, that's literally the worst pick of all time. Unfortunate for Jay, who's going to end up taking him. Number two in the rankings, Jahmyr Gibbs, Detroit Lions, went 12th overall. Gibbs landed with a Lions team that will love to utilize him, but he might not receive the goal line touches. The last five running backs picked in the top 12 of the NFL draft played a minimum of 550 offensive snaps during their rookie seasons. A team picking a running back that early will have them at the top of their depth chart. Gibbs replaces DeAndre Swift, who was the best running back of the 2020 class, while Gibbs was a top such player of the 2023 class. Gibbs will take Swift's role completely. There is still a decent chance David Montgomery will still maintain fantasy value. He's the biggest running back of the three and is most similarly built to Jamal Williams. Williams was consistently scoring touchdowns from 1 to 2 yards out in 2022, leading the league with 17 touchdowns. This might prevent Gibbs from being a consistent top 10 fantasy running back week in and week out, but he can still be a top 20 running back. Both Williams and Swift finished among the top 20 fantasy running backs in 5 separate weeks last season and have 2 games in the past 2 seasons where both finished in the top 5. That pairing will be Gibbs and Montgomery this season, and the offense could be even better than the 2022 version. Gibbs could have been the 1-of-1 dynasty rookie pick in most seasons, but only falls to 2nd because, well, obviously, Bijan Robinson is in this class. And then rank number 3, Jackson Smith and Jigba, Seattle Seahawks. He went 20th overall. first wide receiver off the board in the draft. Smith and Jigma is the most talented wide receiver in the draft class, but didn't necessarily land in the best immediate situation. Smith and Jigma beats out the other first-round receivers simply because of the gap in talent. The Seahawks have a long tradition of utilizing slot receivers under Pete Carroll, from Golden Tate to Doug Baldwin to Tyler Lockett. One problem for Smith and Jigma is the wide receivers ahead of him. DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett are two of the 18 wide receivers in the NFL with a receiving grade above 83.0 over the last two seasons. Metcalf is under contract until 2025, and Seattle will likely want to sign him to another contract after that. Lockett is also under contract until 2025, but he will be 31 years old by the middle of the season. Seattle could potentially move on from him after the 2023 season, but 2024 might be more realistic if Lockett keeps playing well. Seattle's quarterback situation also isn't as good as others. Geno Smith was an average starter last season, but he will be 33 years old by midseason and is clearly not the long-term solution. Smith and Jigba is the best option for a team wanting a wide receiver and can wait a few years before he becomes a fantasy starter. And then ranked number four, wide receiver Jordan Addison, Minnesota Vikings. He went 23rd overall. There was a run of four wide receivers late in the first round, and Addison has the best opportunity to immediately produce for fantasy managers. Jackson Smith and Jigma and Quentin Johnson landed with teams where they are stuck as the third receiver on the depth chart for at least their rookie season. Zay Flowers landed with the Baltimore Ravens, who were the sixth run-heaviest team last season and our most run-heavy team over the past 5 years. Minnesota moved on from 32-year-old Adam Thielen, who spent the past seven seasons as a starting receiver. Justin Jefferson and KJ Osborne will remain starters in three receiver sets, with Addison joining the lineup. Addison should be able to jump Osborne in the depth chart to be the team's number two wide receiver. Quarterback Kirk Cousins has achieved an 87.5 PFF offensive grade over the past two seasons combined, which ranks fifth among active quarterbacks. The Vikings went from a run-first team with Mike Zimmer to posting the fifth-highest pass rate under Kevin O'Connell in 2022. They might even pass more often during the 2023 season if they move on from star running back Dalvin Cook. Addison will never be the Vikings' top wide receiver as long as Jefferson is still on the roster, but a team can have two fantasy stars at the position. The Miami Dolphins, Philadelphia Eagles, Cincinnati Bengals, Seattle Seahawks, and Tampa Bay Buccaneers all produced two top 20 fantasy wide receivers last season. Addison is the best wide receiver option for someone looking for a fantasy starter immediately. And the fifth ranked player, wide receiver Quentin Johnson, Los Angeles Chargers, was drafted 21st overall. Johnson was the second wide receiver off the board, and he will get paired with one of the NFL's best young quarterbacks. Justin Herbert's 88.1 PFF offensive grade over the past two seasons ranks fourth best among active quarterbacks. Herbert is only 25 years old, while Johnson is 21. If everything goes well, these two could be playing together for the next decade. Johnson is both the freakiest athlete in this wide receiver class and the best after the catch. This isn't the best immediate landing spot for Johnson, as Keenan Allen and Mike Williams will likely remain as the top two spots on the depth chart. Allen recently turned 31 and is already in the top 40 all-time interceptions. He is still playing at a high level and is an asset in the short term, but he won't be part of the Chargers' long-term plans. Allen and Williams are both signed through 2024 season, but both have cap numbers over $32 million. Wow. Chargers could save more than $20 million by cutting either one of them, or $40 million by cutting both. Imagine if they cut both. Wow. Los Angeles Chargers currently have one of the worst cap situations in 2024, so releasing at least one of Allen or Williams after the season is very plausible. Johnson will still be worth a mid-round flyer in fantasy drafts, just in case he breaks out early. But his combination of talent and situation is arguably the best of this wide receiver class. He is the best option at wide receiver for our fantasy manager who doesn't need a fantasy starter for 2023, but wants one for 2024. That's an interesting take. Okay. Why would you draft someone for 2024? This is 2023. Come on. And then the sixth ranked player, Zach Charbonnet, Seattle Seahawks. He went in the second round, number 52 overall. Charbonnet lands with a team that loves to use running backs, but on a team that used a second round pick on a running back last season in Kenneth Walker. The second round rookie has the best vision in the class and is also the class's best short yardage back. Seattle has been the home of several fantasy starters when a player's been given the opportunity. Kenneth Walker was RB9 for week 6 until the end of the season once he became a starter last season. Rashad Penny was the top running back over the last 6 weeks of 2021 once he began seeing significant playing time, including 4 games with 130 or more yards and at least 1 touchdown. Chris Carson was a top 20 fantasy running back each season from 2018 to 2020. The problem is Walker and Charbonnet will likely share the workload as long as both players are healthy. We could see an ugly 3-man rotation to begin Charbonnet's career, as Pete Carroll mentioned DJ Dallas pretty early when discussing his new running back room. DJ Dallas, what? This is similar to the running back rotation Seattle used to begin last season with Penny, Walker, and Dallas. Charbonnet remains this high despite the competition because of his talent, and he is just 1 injury away from being a top 10 fantasy running back. Charbonnet ranked higher on our big board this season than Walker did last season. There is certainly a chance Charbonnet becomes the starter at some point in time. And then the 7th ranked player, one of my favorite draft picks. Really love this for the Bills. It's Dalton Kincaid. He was the first tight end taken off the board at 25th overall. Kincaid was the clear top receiving tight end of the class and remains the top option despite questionable potential in his first season. Dawson Knox is coming off back-to-back top 10 seasons in terms of fantasy production, but this was largely due to playing in a high-scoring Bills offense led by none other than Josh Allen. He produced a 63.7 PFF receiving grade over the past 2 seasons, which is the second lowest among tight ends, with at least 750 routes in that time. His fantasy production has largely come from touchdowns, whereas 15 are third most among tight ends in the same period. The Bills just signed Knox to a 4-year, $52 million contract extension with $31.2 million guaranteed before last season. So he and Kincaid will likely need to share the tight end room for a minimum of this season, and likely the next two. This means neither Kincaid nor Knox can be trusted as a fantasy starter unless Kincaid can win the starting job outright, which I believe he will, because fuck Dawson Knox, he sucks. While that is a big concern for the first season, he should eventually replace Knox long-term and be that yearly top 10 tight end that Knox was, if not better. No other tight end makes the top 12, but there are several options that were picked in the second round of the NFL draft that should be picked in the second round of Dynasty drafts. But yeah, again, just love this for the Bills. He's going to be a stud. He's the next Travis Kelce. And the 8th ranked player, Zay Flowers, went to Baltimore Ravens. He was a 4th wide receiver taken off the board. He went 22nd overall. Flowers adds a dynamic element to the wide receivers of the Baltimore Ravens. The best case is he ends up replacing Marquise Brown after Brown was traded to the Arizona Cardinals a year ago. Brown finished as wide receiver 22 in 2021 with 91 receptions for 1,008 yards and 6 touchdowns. The reason he's lower than other first-round wide receivers is the Ravens have been the most run-heavy team since Lamar Jackson became the Ravens starter. After Jackson signed his contract extension, he's not going anywhere anytime soon. He has also plenty of competition for targets from Mark Andrews, OBJ, Rashad Bateman, and others. The Ravens have enough weapons that Flowers should have some big plays as a rookie. It just might not accumulate to enough to be a fantasy starter as a rookie. His ceiling is higher than the rookie wide receivers picked after him, as his ceiling is a great fantasy starter if he can become the clear favorite target for Jackson among the wide receiver room. And the ninth ranked player, Keandre Miller, running back, drafted by the New Orleans Saints in the third round, 71st overall. Miller leads the long list of running backs picked in the third round of the NFL draft due to his potential for future playing time. Miller's role, per our draft guide, is a bell cow back who is capable of playing on every down just as he was doing last season. Age is also on his side as he's only 20 years old. Alvin Kamara is the incumbent running back of the New Orleans Saints. He'll be 28 before the start of the season. At his peak, Kamara received elite grades, including a season above 90.0. But in three of his last four seasons, he graded 75 or below. His fantasy value in past seasons came from his talent, but in more recent seasons, it has come from volume. He could be released before the 2024 season as a post-June 1st cut. He would likely be released in 2025, if not 2024. Jamal Williams was a free agent who signed with the Saints. He is also on the older side for a running back at 28 years old. He will likely be on the roster for the next two seasons. It's within the realm of possibility that Miller becomes a lead back for the New Orleans Saints sometimes this season if he plays well. Every other running back picked in the third or fourth round is projected to be a part-time player based on their skill set or faces significant competition from other young running backs. And then the 10th ranked player, probably the most intriguing draft pick in this year's draft, none other than Anthony Richardson, quarterback, drafted by the Colts, fourth overall. Richardson leads all quarterbacks on this list thanks to his rushing ability. Each of the top six quarterbacks last season ran for at least 250 yards. Five of the 10 quarterbacks to average 18.4 fantasy points per game or better gained at least 700 rushing yards. Richardson was clearly the best runner of the class, both from his college tape as well as his combine measurables. He will benefit from having Shane Steichen as his head coach. He was most recently the offensive coordinator for the Philadelphia Eagles during Jalen Hurts' breakout seasons. Steichen was also the offensive coordinator for Justin Herbert in his rookie season when he finished at QB9. There is no guarantee Richardson hits the same heights as past rushing quarterbacks, but his odds are the highest among quarterbacks in the class. So those are the top 10 fantasy dynasty rookie rankings. Could be here all night or all day or whatever, just talking about rankings if I went any farther than 10. But I do want to name a couple other notable mentions, honorable mentions, that not necessarily ranked high on the rankings, but sort of landed in good spots and could be considered as winners of the NFL draft. The first one is Rashee Rice, Kansas City Chiefs. And the main reason he's a winner, you guessed it, he gets to catch passes from Patrick Mahomes. Kansas City utilized a six-man rotation at wide receiver last season, but lost both Juju Smith-Schuster and Mecole Hardman in free agency. The Chiefs' only addition was Richie James from the New York Giants. Sky Moore is the team's only wide receiver under contract beyond 2024. Most of Kansas City's wide receivers could be cut after the season to save salary cap space. Kadarius Toney and Moore played well in limited opportunities, as both earned a PFF receiving grade above 70.0, but Toney has injury concerns and Moore's limited playing time was extremely alarming. This gives a rookie an opportunity to move to the top of the depth chart as early as year one. Mahomes' current favorite target is tight end Travis Kelce, but he will be 34 years old before the end of the season. Tony Gonzalez is the only other tight end in the past 15 seasons to rack up more than 900 receiving yards in a season at that age. Kelce can follow in Gonzalez's footsteps and play at a tight end one level for more seasons, but his production is bound to decline at some point. The bottom line for Rice in PFF's draft guide mentioned, Rice is one of the more NFL-ready receivers in the class. It's possible he earns a starting job this season. And then the second honorable mention, tight end Sam Laporta, Detroit Lions. Tight end was a clear need for Detroit after the team traded TJ Hockenson last season. Laporta avoided 20 tackles last season, which ranks second among tight ends. He accomplished this at Iowa, the same college that produced Hockenson. The Lions threw to tight ends at an above-average rate in 2021 during Dan Campbell's first season. This continued in 2022 while Hockenson was still on the roster, but the tight end targets plummeted once Hockenson was traded. Laporta should be the clear-cut starter, unlike Dalton Kincaid and Michael Mayer, who will face competition from at least one veteran during their rookie seasons. His competition is a combination of Brock Wright, Shane Zylstra, and James Mitchell. The Lions' wide receiver room isn't as strong in 2023 as it was in 2022. That's arguable. DJ Chark left for Carolina and was replaced by 33-year-old Marvin Jones, who is arguably better than DJ Chark. Just saying. There aren't going to be many late-round tight ends with high upside. Several teams have a similar depth chart to last season, while most teams that made changes added a veteran who isn't a top 12 tight end option. Laporta might not be a fantasy starter as a rookie, but he should be a favorite late-round option with the upside to reach the top 12. All right, so those are the rankings and a couple of honorable mentions. For the next segment, I wanted to go through an article that gave letter grades for each team's offseason and draft so far, along with a little explanation for each team and why they got the grade that they got. So let's get into that. This is great. So these are the lists of teams that received an A for their offseason so far. And the first team on the list is the Detroit Lions. The Detroit Lions address glaring secondary holes both aggressively and frugally, adding a trio of physical starters in cornerback Cameron Sutton, Emmanuel Mosley, and C.J. Gardner-Johnson for less than $50 million combined. David Montgomery is a fine lateral substitute for Jamal Williams in the backfield, and retaining John Kaminsky and Alex Anzalone ensures the rest of their D has fight. They drafted in an unorthodox way, prioritizing devalued positions early, but running back Jahmyr Gibbs adds a lot of electricity, and safety Brian Branch and linebacker Jack Campbell should bring even more range to the defense. So yeah, pretty cool to see the Lions first on the list for getting an A for their offseason and draft. And then a completely unrelated to football sidebar, just a quick rant. The Golden State Warriors and Los Angeles Lakers are playing right now. I desperately, desperately need the Lakers to win this game. They're currently up 4 in the first quarter. Looking good. Hopefully, by the time you listen to this, the Lakers have won the series. And if not the series, at least tonight's game. So yeah, end of rant. All right, the second team on the list of teams that receive an A for their offseason, the New York Jets. They haven't done enough to bolster their offensive line, but ex-Ravens safety Chuck Clark is an underrated addition to an already potent D. Alan Lazard and Mecole Hardman are decent, complementary bonuses for a deep wide receiver core. More importantly, in a league full of teams starving for difference-making quarterbacks, they're getting a near Tom Brady level rental in Aaron Rodgers. No, they're not. Aaron Rodgers sucks. Even with a steep price tag, it's a big win for a playoff caliber roster. Even Rodgers below MVP form. Oh, he's very, very below MVP form. For just a year or three is major upgrade as such an important position. And then the number three team on the list here of teams that receive an A for their offseason, the Carolina Panthers. Losing wide receiver DJ Moore to move up in the draft robbed them of a building block, but they also guaranteed themselves a virtual total package at quarterback in number one pick Bryce Young. Suffering a net draft capital loss of just three picks, one first and two seconds, to make that happen. Andy Dalton is a perfectly reasonable mentor under center. No, he's not. Running back Miles Sanders is a smooth, if slightly expensive, fit under assistant Deuce Daly, and both wide receiver Adam Thielen and tight end Hayden Hurst are high-effort safety valves who should ease Young into the lineup under new coach Frank Reich. Am I like the only one that think that the Panthers' offensive additions are just like average at best? Like, Adam Thielen is old as shit. Hayden Hurst is significantly overrated and was catching passes from Joe Burrow last season. Miles Sanders, I think he just flat out sucks. Why did they even put Andy Dalton in this blurb? Like, what? Anyways, interesting one. The fourth team on the list here, four teams that receive an A for their offseason, the Chicago Bears. Committing $90 million plus to linebackers Tremaine Edmonds and TJ Edwards was an odd use of resources considering they just dealt the superior Roquan Smith because of his price tag. But there's no denying the team is much better across the board. Quarterback Justin Fields finally has a legit number one receiver in DJ Moore. And that's questionable. It's DJ Moore. Is he number one? Thanks to their trade down from the number one pick, offensive guard Nate Davis should help up front. And both running backs Deontay Foreman and tight end Robert Tonyan should be rugged red zone options. Getting a potential day one starting right tackle and rookie Darnell Wright is a plus as well. And the fifth team on the list of teams that received an A for their offseason, the Philadelphia Eagles. Dedicating new money to old faithful like center Jason Kelce, defensive end Brandon Graham, defensive tackle Fletcher Cox, and cornerback Darius Slay is bittersweet. Most of the aging starters are still Pro Bowl caliber, but GM Howie Roseman has fared better betting on an ascending talent. Still keeping cornerback James Bradbury to go with Slay is a victory at a reasonable price. Quarterback Marcus Mariota is a better QB2 fit while sharing Jalen Hurts' mobility, and running back Rashad Penny is a bargain high reward gamble. The draft is where they really won, adding Georgia teammates Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith, and Keely Ringo for their defense. Picking up those three in the draft, they just absolutely stole those players. I don't know why the rest of the league let that happen, but they did, and here we are. For the rest of it, I mean, Marcus Mariota, I mean, he could fit in this offense, but, like, doesn't really matter unless Hurts gets hurt. Rashad Penny just seems very average to me. Potentially even below average. But anyways, the sixth team on this list of teams that received an A for their draft or for their offseason, the Pittsburgh Steelers. They probably could have matched what the Lions gave Cameron Sutton to keep an ascending starter at corner, but Patrick Peterson is a plug-and-play consolation prize after a Vikings renaissance. He should thrive alongside Minka Fitzpatrick. Ex-Eagles offensive guard Isaac Sumelo is maybe their smartest bet, bringing a quietly sterling piece of Philly's vaunted line to Kenny Pickett's defense. They also netted some good value in the draft in offensive tackle Broderick Jones, cornerback Joey Porter, and tight end Darnell Washington, who should pair with ex-Rams wide receiver Allen Robinson to give them quite a red zone team. And then number seven on the list of teams that receive an A for their offseason, the Denver Broncos. Did they outbid themselves for offensive tackle Mike McGlinchey and offensive guard Ben Powers? Perhaps. But Sean Payton is the right to invest in the trenches, seemingly shifting the offensive approach around the ground game that helped quarterback Russell Wilson stay comfortable for so long in Seattle. Adding defensive lineman Zach Allen and retaining linebacker Alex Singleton ensures the front seven still has pop, and you can do quite a bit worse than Jarrett Stidham for an emergency backup replacement quarterback. I mean, you could do not much worse, but you could definitely do worse. And then number eight on the list, of teams that receive an A for their offseason, the New York Giants. Your view of Big Blue's offseason depends almost entirely on what you make of quarterback Daniel Jones. Well, what I make of him is that he's not good. He is good at running. He was dubbed as Vanilla Mike Vick by one of his own teammates. He may not yet be a sure thing as a downfield passer, but New York isn't ridiculously overpaying for an efficient, athletic, 25-year-old playoff winner under center. After inevitable extensions for elites like Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert, his $40 million per year renewal might not even be a top 10 mark going into 2023. That makes sense because he's not a top 10 quarterback. His new weapons, tight end Darren Waller and wide receiver Paris Campbell, are big injury risks but clear upgrades. Ditto for rookie wide receiver Jalin Hyatt. On the other side, linebacker Bobby Okereke and first-round cornerback Deontay Banks should help the middle and back end of the defense. I do like Waller and Campbell as offensive additions. Like, that's two solid pickups for them. Jalin Hyatt kind of remains to be seen. I don't really know too much about him, but that's a good pickup for them. And that rounds out the list of teams that received an A for their offseason. And then just a quick little sidebar update. Number two, the Lakers are currently up two in the second quarter. 4:40 left. Looking good so far. Yeah, that's that. All right, let's move on to the list of teams that received a B grade. The B grade means these teams have fared reasonably well. One or two key concerns still exist, but they can enter the summer relatively content. And the first team on this list of teams that received a B for their offseason, the Houston Texans. The strategy from GM Nick Caserio hasn't been wholly different from recent years. Lots of rental deals for mid-tier veteran castoffs. This year's crop for new coach DeMeco Ryans at least has some potential hidden gems to supplement an inevitable first-round quarterback. Case Keenum is a charismatic number two under center. Running back Devin Singletary makes for a nice Damian Pierce relief. Ex-Cowboys wide receiver Noah Brown and tight end Dalton Schultz at least have the skills to keep growing. And Ryan's 49ers people Jimmy Ward should be a cultural builder as a utility man in the secondary. Their biggest gets, of course, came in the draft, where quarterback C.J. Stroud and defensive end Will Anderson Jr. have the potential to be franchise changers. And, you know, I might disagree for the first time on this list here. I think the Texans should be in the A tier. I mean, C.J. Stroud, Will Anderson in the draft, which are two potential cornerstone players. I mean, Devin Singletary still has something to run for. Just pair him with Damian Pierce, that makes him even more of a threat. Noah Brown, I don't think he got enough opportunity in Dallas, so it'll be interesting to see what he can do with a little more opportunity. And then Dalton Schultz, I mean, he's a solid tight end. Like, that's a pretty solid offseason. I'd argue they should be in the A tier. And those are my thoughts on the Texans. And then the next team on the list of teams that received a B grade for their offseason, the Seattle Seahawks. While the Giants tied themselves to Daniel Jones, the Seahawks are getting more wiggle room with their own 2022 breakout, wisely getting Geno Smith back at just $25 million per year, 15th among quarterbacks, and giving him additional weapons in rookie wide receiver Jackson Smith and Jigma and running back Zach Charbonnet. They also addressed longstanding holes up front by wooing ex-Broncos defensive lineman Draymond Jones to be Pete Carroll's defensive anchor alongside first-round cornerback Devin Witherspoon. And then the next team on the list of teams that received a B for their offseason, the Cincinnati Bengals. Offensive tackle Orlando Brown Jr. is a clear upgrade on Jonah Williams, after an imperfect but solid run protecting Patrick Mahomes, and he arrived at a significantly more reasonable number, $16 million per year, than expected. Does that sentence make sense? I don't know. But how much did the Chiefs mask his flaws? Retaining tough linebacker Jermaine Pratt was smart too, and they did a fair job addressing free agent secondary losses by adding DJ Turner and Jordan Battle near the top of the draft. And the next team on the list of teams that received a B for their offseason, the Dallas Cowboys. America's team has been splashy without overspending, adding Brandon Cooks as a wide receiver 2 upgrade opposite CeeDee Lamb, Stephon Gilmore as a cornerback 2 upgrade opposite Trayvon Diggs, and tagging Tony Pollard to usher out the Ezekiel Elliott era. These are all short-term moves, but they all make sense for an annual playoff hopeful, raising the floor at premium positions. You just wish they got a bit more bang for their buck in the early parts of the draft. Then sidebar number 3. The Lakers, Warriors. This is game 4, by the way. Game 4. They just went to half. Golden State Warriors, 52. LA Lakers, 49. Not looking good for my Lakers. Not going to watch the rest of the game. Your boys going to bed. So yeah, the rest of the podcasts will be in the future. That's the power of podcasting. So see you in the future. The next team that received a B grade for their offseason, the Indianapolis Colts. They're swinging big on the Florida quarterback, Anthony Richardson, who seemingly got all the tools to be a superstar, but enters without much polish as a passer for new coach Shane Steichen. Wide receiver Isaiah McKenzie is okay as a reserve, and ex-49er Samson Ubikim can start at pass rusher. The $22 million investment in kicker Matt Gay is even more iffy. $22 million for a kicker? Is that normal? But at least they have actual upside under center as well, as an explosive outlet in rookie wide receiver Josh Downs, a potential early starter. And quick sidebar, number 4. We are in the future now, and the Lakers won a legacy fourth quarter from Lonnie Walker. Absolutely incredible to seal the win for the Lakers. And my bet hit, so that's cool. So shout out Lonnie Walker, shout out Lakers. And then the next team that received a B for their offseason, the Miami Dolphins. Quarterback Mike White is a serviceably gutsy backup for Tua Tagovailoa, though Miami probably could have explored even better insurance considering its starter's serious medical history. The real wins are on defense, where Vic Fangio is now running the show. Cornerback Jalen Ramsey is a bona fide tone setter who arrived for just a third rounder and a backup tight end, giving the Dolphins an elite cover duo. And ex-Titans linebacker David Long should reinforce the second level, provided he stays on the field. Which is 4 picks in the draft, however, they didn't do a ton to address their long-term future. All right, these next group of teams that I'm going to list received a C grade for their offseason. And the C grade means these teams predictably make up the majority of the list. Some of their decisions have been praiseworthy, some of them have been questionable, and altogether it's tough to say they're trending in any one direction. The first team that received a C for their offseason, the Buffalo Bills. They were never going to be a major free agency players after 2022's Von Miller splash, but it's nice to have safety Jordan Poyer, Buffalo's version of Devin McCourty, back for another ride. Running back Damian Harris is an underrated candidate for tough carries alongside James Cook, as is Latavius Murray. And wide receiver Deontay Hardy is a slightly higher octane substitute for the departed Isaiah McKenzie in a secondary role. Their top draft picks, tight end Dalton Kincaid and offensive guard Osiris Torrance, also figure to make an early impact in starting caliber roles. The next team on the list that received a C grade for their offseason the Atlanta Falcons. Not entirely dissimilar to the Jaguars of last offseason. They came in with loads of cap space, and they're better after spending it. You just wonder if they could have done much, much better. Quarterback Taylor Heinicke is a likable rough-and-tumble alternative to Desmond Ridder, but gets them no closer to a true answer under center. Rookie running back Bijan Robinson has the it factor, but at a devalued position. Keeping offensive guard Chris Lidstrom is smart, but was it necessary to reset the guard market on a $105 million deal? $105 million to play fucking guard in the NFL. That's absolutely insane. The best bet is probably safety Jesse Bates III, whose range offsets a curiously large investment in aging ex-Saints defensive tackle David Onyemata. Seriously, $105 million to play fucking guard? Are you serious? Anyways, the next team that receives a C grade for their offseason, the New England Patriots. Adding wide receiver Juju Smith-Schuster would make worlds of sense as a high-volume target for Mac Jones if he wasn't just a lateral fill-in for the departed Jacoby Myers. Tight end Mike Gesicki helps, of course, giving Jones an additional outlet. But they still got issues up front, where journeyman Riley Reiff is their top new tackle, and probably didn't need to spend $4 million a year on James Robinson, considering Ramondre Stevenson already headlined their capable backfield. Fortunately, they did find good value in the draft, adding both cornerback Christian Gonzalez and defensive lineman Keon White. And the next team that received a C grade for their offseason, the Cleveland Browns. And by the way, we're 40 minutes into this episode. If you're listening to this, thanks for listening. Appreciate you. The Cleveland Browns. The reunion with quarterback Joshua Dobbs behind Deshaun Watson makes sense. Ditto for the extension of breakout center Ethan Poshich. They paid quite a bit for a run stuffer and defensive tackle Dalvin Tomlinson, and they're counting on younger vets like defensive end Obo Okoronkwo and safety Juan Thornhill to reach new heights in new scenery. Swapping picks to land wide receiver Elijah Moore from the Jets, however, was a creative way to bring some added juice opposite Amari Cooper out wide. And their third round addition of wide receiver Cedric Tillman Jr. bolsters that position further. And I have David Bell on my team, so you can pretty much kiss him goodbye with those wide receiver additions, because he is buried at the bottom of the depth chart. So, David Bell, see you later. Anyways, next team that receives a C grade for their offseason, the Las Vegas Raiders. By themselves, quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo, wide receiver Jacoby Myers, and returning starters running back Josh Jacobs and offensive tackle Jermaine Ulamanor are just fine, keeping the offensive floor relatively high after the dual exit of Derek Carr and Darren Waller. But unless you consider Aiden O'Connell a feasible successor for the off-injured Garoppolo, they'll probably remain in no man's land under Josh McDaniels. The infrastructure has changed, but how about the overall talent level beyond, say, first-round pass rusher Tyree Wilson? The next team on the list that received a C for their offseason, the Minnesota Vikings. At one point, it felt like GM Kwesi Adofo-Mensah had something grand up his sleeve. Or maybe that was just the hope, considering their offseason had been more about shedding aging favorites, wide receiver Adam Thielen, linebacker Eric Kendricks, etc., than building off Kevin O'Connell's debut. Tight end Josh Oliver is a curious $7 million annual investment as a backup to TJ Hockenson, but the low-risk, high-reward bets on defensive end Marcus Davenport and cornerback Byron Murphy at least give the D fresher legs. And rookie wide receiver Jordan Addison is an intriguing addition opposite Justin Jefferson. And then the next team that received a C grade for their offseason, the Green Bay Packers. Their long-awaited trade of Aaron Rodgers projects as a rare win-win. It truly is time to see what Jordan Love has to offer. and the young gun flashed a live arm in relief of A-Rod in 2022. The unfortunate thing is, Green Bay is banking on a lot of young, unproven talent to upgrade Love's supporting cast. Spending early round picks on wide receiver Jalen Reed and tight ends Luke Musgrave and Tucker Kraft. I still don't get why they drafted two tight ends that early. That was weird. Very Green Bay-like, but weird. And the next team that received a C grade for their offseason, the San Francisco 49ers. They basically broke even up front, losing starter right tackle Mike McGlinchey, but extending breakout center Jake Brendel after their NFC title bid. But three other moves are worth mild celebrations. Quarterback Sam Darnold is an athletic emergency option behind Trey Lance and Brock Purdy. Under Kyle Shanahan, he's surely better positioned than ever before. Safety Tayshaun Gibson's return should be welcomed after an opportunistic 2022. And defensive tackle Javon Hargrave is a cherry on top of an already relentless pass rush, fresh off his career year with the Eagles. The draft, on the flip side, was altogether uninspiring for them. And the next team on the list of teams that received a C grade for their offseason, the New Orleans Saints. No one refuses to rebuild like the Saints. New quarterback Derek Carr is a gutsy leader who might have a deep playoff run in him, provided he's got an all-star setup a la Matthew Stafford with the 2021 Rams. That he does not have. New Orleans is essentially just buying another year or three of wildcard flirtation by doubling down on veterans like running back Jamal Williams and wide receiver Michael Thomas. And the fact that they spent their first two draft picks on defensive players suggests Dennis Allen's old-school approach remains relatively intact. And the next team on the list that received a C grade for their offseason, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The cost of going all-in for Tom Brady for 3 years. A discarded Baker Mayfield is the chosen competition for Kyle Trask at quarterback. Chase Edmonds is in tow as a Leonard Fournette fill-in, and lots will be asked of Super Bowl holdovers linebacker Lavonte David and cornerback Jamel Dean, who at least get an underrated addition in ex-Rams defensive tackle Greg Gaines up front. They did nab some underrated trench pieces atop the draft in defensive tackle Kalijah Kansi and offensive tackle Cory Mauch. And then the next team on the list of teams that received a C grade for their offseason, the Washington Commanders. The foundations are improving bit by bit. Offensive tackle Andrew Wiley is a reasonably priced upgrade at right tackle after an underrated Chiefs run. Offensive guard Nick Gates adds competition on the interior. And defensive tackle Darren Payne's extension ensures Ron Rivera's front will stay formidable. But then there's the latest, predictably middling quarterback swing. Jacoby Brissett is a quality spot starter, but if his arrival spells the end of any splashier pursuit for Sam Howell's competition, well, better luck next year. And Sam Howell is on my roster, so respectfully, they better not bring any competition in. Need Sam Howell to be the starter, need him to play well, need him to be successful, have a long-term career. That would be great. But anyways, the next team on the list of teams that received a C grade for their offseason, the Baltimore Ravens. It's good they finally found common ground with quarterback Lamar Jackson, re-signing the former MVP to a long-term deal. And certainly their wide receiver additions aren't nothing. Veteran Odell Beckham Jr. and first-round pick Zay Flowers improved the lineup. You just wish they could have gotten a bit more security there, as well as in a tradition. What am I reading? That's live. This is live. I'm just going to keep going. As well as in a transitioning secondary, although adding Rock Ya-Sin is a good start. And then the final team on the list of teams that received a C grade for their offseason. The Jacksonville Jaguars. Their big makeover came a year ago. Keeping tight end Evan Engram is smart considering how effectively he emerged as a Trevor Lawrence outlet. Losing offensive tackle Juwan Taylor and pass rusher Arden Key isn't ideal, but they also didn't necessarily need to match the price tags there. Keep in mind their biggest unofficial addition actually arrived during the 2022 campaign. Wide receiver Calvin Ridley, who's got the polish and speed to be a number one alongside Christian Kirk. Yeah, that's actually low-key huge. I mean, Ridley's kind of old now, but if he's still got anything in the tank, like, that is an excellent addition for the Jaguars. All right, that rounds out the list of teams that received a C grade for their offseason. So we move on to the list of teams that received a D grade for their offseason. A D grade. These teams have simply struggled to take meaningful steps forward. Some of them were always going to be more financially impaired, but they're more desperate for future help regardless. The first team on the list of teams that received a D grade for their offseason, the Tennessee Titans. Not a single one of their many veteran losses was egregious. In fact, they probably could have gone further, with both quarterback Ryan Tannehill and running back Derrick Henry well-trodden and expensive. But new GM Rand Carthon is taking some sensible low-risk, high-reward flyers at key spots in offensive tackle Andre Dillard, outside linebacker Arden Key, and cornerback Sean Murphy Bunting. Early draft picks offensive tackle Peter Skronsky and quarterback Will Levis could prove to get great value selections, but the latter isn't necessarily entering a prime environment for growth, considering the offensive line uncertainty and lacking wide receiver cores. And then the next team on the list of teams that received a D grade for their offseason, the Kansas City Chiefs. Perhaps they were right to balk at left tackle or Orlando Brown Jr.'s demands, but turning around and spending $20 million per year on ex-Jaguar Juwan Taylor, with apparent plans to move the former mid-tier starter to the left side, is risky. Adding electric linebacker Drew Tranquil is an underrated move for Steve Spagnuolo's defense, but they're also still lacking juice out wide for Patrick Mahomes, with both Juju Smith-Schuster and Mecole Hardman landing elsewhere and only second-rounder Rashee Rice entering thus far. And the next team on the list of teams that received a D grade for their offseason, the Los Angeles Chargers. A mega extension for quarterback Justin Herbert might salvage an otherwise ho-hum offseason, which was destined following their spending spree in 2022. Linebacker Eric Kendricks might be primed for a rebound behind their talented front, but he's not exactly a difference maker at 31 either. Their first round investment, wide receiver Quentin Johnson, could be special, but he also feels a bit redundant with Mike Williams' skill set in their attack. Maybe he'll prove us all wrong, but maybe he also won't. You'll never know until we know. Eventually, we will know. And the next team on the list of teams that received a D grade for their offseason, the Arizona Cardinals. They must be saving their money for something. It's understandable they didn't want to pay massive bucks to keep defensive lineman Zach Allen or bid for cornerback Byron Murphy coming off injury. But that means Jonathan Gannon's inherited defense is still devoid of many building blocks. Wide receiver Zach Pascal and linebacker Kaiser White have followed Gannon from Philly, but they're just role players at best. At least they're prioritizing the trenches in some sense by drafting offensive tackle Paris Johnson Jr. early. And then the next and final team in the NFL on this list of teams that received a D grade for their offseason, the Los Angeles Rams. Like the Buccaneers, they're simply paying for all their short-sighted spending. Their biggest additions are merely offensive starters coming back from injury. Quarterback Matthew Stafford, wide receiver Cooper Kupp, etc. Otherwise, they've been content to sell, parting ways with Pro Bowl caliber starters like cornerback Jalen Ramsey, outside linebacker Leonard Floyd, and linebacker Bobby Wagner. Yeah, the Rams are going to be absolutely dog shit for years to come. But they did get a Super Bowl out of it, so it's worth it, if you ask me. All right, that rounds out the podcast. The final section is the classic, just the quote of the day. Today's quote: shut your mouth and know your role. Travis Kelce, who many people don't know, stole that quote from The Rock. All right, have a great night, everybody. Peace.